Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Talk to you then, Carl. Thank you very much indeed. We don't have enough social workers in this country, and we haven't for the last number of years, but new initiatives aiming to make social work more accessible and diverse have been launched today by Minister for Further and Higher Education, Patrick O'Donovan. A shortage of social workers nationally remains a significant challenge to the sector, but Tusla has welcomed this move today. Shortly before coming on air, I spoke with Minister Patrick O'Donovan about these new initiatives and also reaction to the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, ruling this afternoon. I first began by asking the Minister what the new social work initiatives will mean.
So this is a joint initiative, really, between our department and Minister Anne Rabbitt. And it's really recognising, I think, that over the last number of years, Ireland has changed in terms of the way in which we approach learning and in the way in which we approach upskilling. So working with Tusla, the HSE, our own department, and, as I say, Minister Anne Rabbitt's office, together with UCC and the Cork Education and Training Board, an initiative has been developed, which we launched today, which will see 57 places on an annualised basis that will allow for people to enter third level, for want of a better word, through a different mechanism. The apprenticeship model has been, I suppose, the preserve for many years of a very restricted number of apprenticeships. Over the last number of years through the now Taoiseach, it has widened. And now today we're widening it further, with the introduction through collaboration between UCC, Cork Education and Training Board, and ourselves, the Departments of Further and Higher Education, an initiative that will allow people to come in to work, to become social workers, ultimately recognised by the national governing body through the apprenticeship model, and as well as that then a master's programme developed through UCC.
So this will be welcomed. This has been welcomed already by those working in the social work area, because as you know, there has been a shortage of social workers in Ireland over the last number of years, and it exists still. How long will it be before they become fully fledged social workers then?
So the first cohort come in 25, and you know thereafter you know they get out into the field, and speaking to a number of the social workers today, you know, a lot of them are really welcoming of this, because the people that we expect to come through the apprenticeship model will certainly be coming with a different life experience, and will be coming with a different perspective. And it's something that, speaking to a lot of the social workers today, they're anxious that the programme becomes more diverse. Obviously, look, our population has grown dramatically over the last number of years, and with that, there has been increased strains put on a lot of the disciplines that we would have trained in a traditional basis. This is not traditional. It's new, and I think it's been informed really by the successes that we've seen through other apprenticeships.
Okay. Can you tell me, since we have full employment in the country, in a way it's an employee's market, they can pick and choose, the offering has to be good. Will they be paid while they train?
Look, I mean, apprenticeships will be treated the same as they're treated in all other apprenticeships. And you're right, we are in full employment. So the reality is for us is that we will have to undertake a programme of work around awareness. And
how much will they be paid?
Look, I don't have that figure in front of me now, Carmack, so I'm not going to throw a figure out at you.
So it's much lower than the starting salary for a fully fledged social worker, which I think starts at about 24,000 a year. Is that correct?
Yeah. So they're not fully fledged once they start their on the job training, but no more than there is in the other apprenticeship routes. It's different because it's vocational in nature, because it's learning in on the job and learning day by day. So it's something that I think, speaking to the social workers that we met today, they're excited about it because it gives them an opportunity to feed in directly into the training of the next generation of social workers that they're going to be working with themselves.
I wonder, are they naive as to the situation? Should people be absolutely honest as to what people are getting in for? Because the government has been criticised, hasn't it, by the Irish Association for Social Workers in recent years for the lack of investment, the lack of recruitment, which leads to a high turnover of staff and burnout because of lack of support. Do we need to be absolutely honest with these?
Yeah, we are being honest, and we are being very upfront. And this is a vocation, and a very particular vocation that, you know, attracts very special people that are prepared to take on a burden that is really needed at a particular stage in children's lives and in other people's lives. And that's why even Pat Rabbit's contribution this morning at the launch, the chairman of TUSLA, he was very keen to point out that at the centre of this is the social worker that we're going to train, yes, but absolutely on top of that, the person that they're going to work with are persons and families that they're going to work with. So it does take a particular type of person to go into a healthcare or a social care working environment. We know that.
Minister, if I can intervene there, that like other apprentices, they won't have to emigrate or drop the apprenticeship because of delay in pay or delay in training, which has happened to other apprentices.
Well, look, a lot of people leave the country or change employment or change education routes for a whole variety of different reasons. But this programme that has been developed today has been developed by our department in conjunction with the HSE under workforce planning. So we know that as the population is growing, we're going to need additional people. That's why we're developing this programme, and that's why we're encouraging people to consider a change of career path and possibly consider social work. And that's why we've entered into this. So the projections that we're making with the 57 that are coming out of here, on top of the 25 that are coming out with a new master's in the same area out of the University of Limerick, they're done in conjunction with the HSE. These figures aren't just plucked out of the sky and thrown down. So the HSE know that there's a cohort of people that will be coming at them. They're actually really anxious that we get those numbers as quickly as possible, because in a growing population and in a more diverse population, we need diversity in this social care environment. And it's really important for us as a government that we're offering different methodologies and different ways to get into it.
On another matter entirely, Minister, can I ask for the Irish government's reaction in relation to some breaking news this afternoon, the International Court of Justice ruling that Israel should halt its offensive in Rafah? What's the reaction?
So look, you'll appreciate I've been at an engagement all morning, so I'm only reading it as I'm getting it. But look, my perspective, and I know that the Taoiseach and Tánaiste referred to this recently with regard to the importance and the separation of political discourse from that of the judiciary. The same as if it was here in Ireland. And, you know, we have, as a government and as individual politicians, always respected our national courts and our international courts, and that's no different whether it's the International Court of Justice or the Irish Supreme Court.
I assume you agree with the ruling.
Well, the Irish government have been calling for a long time now, not only in relation to the condemnation around what happened in October, but for a ceasefire to allow humanitarian aid and for dialogue to begin. So we respect the position of the International Court of Justice, and obviously I think once the full ruling of the ICJ had a chance to be looked at by both the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste, the Minister for Foreign Affairs, they'll be able to speak more fully on it. As you'll appreciate, I'm only after hearing it recently.
You seem quite coy about commenting on it, if I may say.
No.
So I just wonder, is it because of the backlash that the Irish government got when it announced this week the recognition of the state of Palestine? I mean,
well, I think you're unfortunately trying to attempt to conflate two totally different things. If you go back to the writing of the programme for government, of which Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Green Party are members of, we committed at that time to the recognition of the state of Palestine, which the Irish government, together with Spain, Norway and other countries, we expect are going to follow suit, on top of those that have already done it within the European Union, did this week. The International Court of Justice is an independent arbitrator with regard to complaints that are brought before it. And like all courts, their rulings should be respected.
No, I know. But in terms of the recognition of the state of Palestine, I just wonder what your view is of all of the backlash, the criticism coming from Israel. The Israeli ambassador to Ireland saying that Ireland has a disproportionate obsession with Israel that we don't see with any other country, she says.
I wouldn't accept that. And I think that, to be quite honest about it, as the Taoiseach said during the week, we all subscribed to the Norway Accord of a two-state solution. You can only have a solution to a two-state solution if there are two states. And this
Hamas
is why
tanks Ireland, says another minister. Israel.
Yeah,
tanks.
Well, look, I don't accept that either, because, you know, we recognise countries all over the world for which we might have differences of opinion with regard to how their governments carry out their duties and how their governments carry out their functions and the political hue and the political makeup of those governments. But we don't not recognise a state because of the people that govern it. We recognise a state because of the people that it's for. And that's why when the Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and Green programme for government was initiated way back, and I debated it ad nauseum with you, in it was that the government would, and it probably at the time got zero coverage either on this programme or any other coverage.
It did at the time, I do remember that.
Well,
no, but I do remember, but maybe that was your intention. I know it was your intention to reward the people of the Palestinian people, but Israel Katz, the Minister for Foreign Affairs of Israel, says, Ireland, if your goal was to reward terrorism by declaring support for a Palestinian state, you've achieved it. What is your message then to Minister Israel Katz?
Well, look, I wouldn't accept that for a minute. I mean, conflating the two issues is, to be quite honest about it, is being disingenuous to an issue at heart here, which is going back to 1993 and even further back than that, to 1967, there has always been, under UN resolutions and under the peace talks that were convened by Norway, there has always been an acceptance by the international community and the main protagonists that who'd all signed up to it, that in order to advance the situation in that region, there had to be two states. That situation has not changed. But from an Irish government's point of view, we have given effect to it this week by saying what we've said, that in order to have a two-state solution, you must have two states in our view. So the next thing that will happen will be the formal exchange of ambassadors between Palestine and Ireland, and the raising of that diplomatic presence in Ramallah and in Dublin reciprocally. And look, I suppose I'm not surprised by the commentary of some people within the Israeli government. I think that was to be expected, really, to be honest about it. Well, I think...
Because they are talking, Minister, as well, about limiting access to Spanish NGOs to the Palestinian territory. That could happen to Ireland then.
Yeah, and I think, look, at the end of the day, that would be really regrettable, and it would be something that I think is not in anybody's best interest, because we all see what's happening on our television screens. And, going back to the original October attacks by Hamas, we all condemn those unequivocally, and there's no equivocation there. However, a war being waged at the moment of which the innocent are the main victims is something that NGOs always have stepped up to. And always will step up to making sure that they can be protected, fed, looked after, receive medical aid. And I think the whole concept of the United Nations and the Geneva Conventions, going back ever before the foundation of the United Nations, would all subscribe to that basic premise of decency, that you allow non-governmental organisations, charity organisations and those that want to work with the injured and the maimed and the dead, okay, to be allowed to do that.
Can I ask you on one other issue, if I may, Minister Patrick O'Donovan, about immigration policy and reform? Because we learned on the news at one on this station, according to a statement from the Department of Justice, that a tender has commenced for a charter plane to return persons subject to deportation orders to their home country. What more can you tell me?
Well, I didn't hear the news at one, to be honest, about it, Cormac, because I was at other events. But I mean, it wouldn't be unusual, to be honest about it, for the government to use charters to repatriate people, no more than it would be unusual for the government to use scheduled flights and scheduled available aircraft. So I think this is another string in the bow for the Department of Justice, for them to be dealing with those who have had applications dealt with, appealed, reappealed and finalised to repatriate them back. So it's an instrument that the Department of Justice have used before, to my knowledge. They've also used scheduled flights, and this would be nothing unusual.
OK. Minister Patrick O'Donovan of Fine Gael, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thanks, Cormac.